Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience-sharing article from the 2023 Washington, D.C. FA Conference entitled Cultivating Solidly and Diligently by a Western Practitioner in the U.S. The article was published on the Minghui website on October 15, 2023. Greetings, esteemed master and fellow practitioners. I would like to share my cultivation experience, including saving sentient beings, during the past few years. Part 1. Cultivating with the heart I had when I first began to practice Falun Dafa. When I first began cultivating in Falun Dafa, after years of reading different kinds of books about spirituality and self-help, I recognized the preciousness of Falun Dafa and of what Master had given to me. Given that realization, I can recall once looking into the mirror and saying something like, "Now that I have been blessed by Falun Dafa, I will devote myself wholeheartedly to cultivation, which requires one to be diligent regardless of the tribulations." The tribulations were severe during the early days. However, Master has always been by my side through family tribulations, periods of unemployment, and the solitude of working on a truth clarification project virtually alone for over a decade. Looking back, I know that I have been able to make it through to today only because of steadfast willingness in doing the three things. However, in recent years, I have seen my will to be diligent in doing the three things weaken over time. Master said in his recent article, Cultivation in Dafa is Serious, quote, "When some people first began practicing cultivation, their hearts were very steadfast. However, there are some who, in the course of their cultivation, still have trouble letting go of the various kinds of attachments they formed over the long term. And as time goes on, some people have started slacking off, and on top of that, they get busy with work and haven't managed their home environments well, so they have even less time to study the Fa and do the exercises. And although they occasionally participate in some group activities, they are not able to be diligent," unquote. With an occupation that requires extensive writing and research, which often spills over into the evenings and weekends, in addition to a busy family life, including demanding extracurricular activities for my kids, I have become less diligent in my cultivation. Master's recent article spoke directly to me and was a firm yet compassionate wake-up call. After the article was published, I read the article and discussed it with three young practitioners in my family. We all realized that we had not been taking cultivation as seriously as we did previously. We committed to helping each other become more diligent again. Part 2. Eliminating competitive mentality in the work environment. I have maintained a good working relationship with my colleagues at work and a solid reputation that has allowed me to successfully clarify the truth to those I work closely with when the appropriate circumstances present themselves. Understanding that the ultimate goal is to save the people that Master has arranged for me to work with, I realize that cultivating my thoughts, speech, and actions are of utmost importance. However, it has not always been easy. I recently experienced a certain manager stealthily doing things in my cases that can potentially have the impact of undermining the cases and causing unnecessary problems. When I am not in a good cultivation state, I have thoughts of resentment and can feel the attachment of wanting to hit back and prove that my work is flawless, despite being intentionally undermined in some respects. Of course, when I am diligently studying the Fa and doing the exercises, I immediately take these situations as good things for elevation and cultivation, and simply clean up the situation without trying to clear my name and expose the manager for trying to undermine my cases. Remembering to cultivate my xingxing at work has allowed me to maintain an environment where my colleagues listen to me with open hearts and minds when conditions arise that allow me to clarify the truth about Falun Dafa and the persecution. Part 3, Making Contemporary Music to Clarify the Truth. I have been making contemporary music for over a decade to clarify the truth to younger people and those who listen to hip-hop music. This has been a process of cultivation and using the Fa to guide me along the way. Master, given his immense compassion, has provided Dafa disciples with various talents and abilities in order to reach and save an even broader group of sentient beings. This contemporary music project has been one that I have approached with steadfast dedication. Whenever my righteous thoughts begin to weaken, from dealing with the constant social media censorship issues, limited support, and relative solitude of the project, I gain strength by remembering Master's Fa. Master said in Fa teaching given at the 2016 New York Fa Conference, quote, "By the time I started to teach the Fa, those gods came down like snowflakes. It was just that many. I calculated their ages now, and from when I started to spread the Fa till now, they would be young people around 25 years old, many of whom really have not been saved. They were all gods coming down to earth, and they scattered to all areas of the world," unquote. Knowing that a person who is able to seriously understand the truth about Falun Dafa and the persecution through my music represents the saving of an enormous universe, this keeps me motivated to cultivate myself well, so that I can proceed on my path with diligence and effectiveness. Of course, working on a project of this nature has required the use of social media in order to reach the intended demographic. When I haven't been diligent, social media has caused difficulties in my cultivation as well. In order to effectively manage the distraction of social media, I have deleted social media apps from my phone. I use social media websites only when I am posting my music from my desktop computer. This way, my use of social media is limited and used only for a very specific purpose. Part 4, Maintaining Righteous Thoughts as Natural Disaster Comes. My parents' home was in the direct path of Hurricane Idalia. Initially, I did not think anything of it until about 24 hours prior to the hurricane's impact. Once I realized that my parents did not plan to evacuate and that their home was in the direct path of the hurricane, I became concerned. However, fortunately, I quickly strengthened my righteous thoughts and considered the situation from the perspective of the Fa rather than with human thoughts. I thought, if this hurricane causes catastrophic damage of life and property with regard to my family, wouldn't my efforts for saving sentient beings be severely disrupted? I knew that being called upon to manage the results of a catastrophic natural disaster severely impacting my family would certainly be the arrangements of the old forces, and not the arrangements of Master. With firm thoughts to reject the old forces' arrangements, I resolved to let go of sentimentality, fear, and human thoughts. I asked Master to strengthen my resolve, and I sent forth righteous thoughts early on the morning of the hurricane's initial impact. Approximately 24 hours later, I spoke with my father and mother, who both said that with their strong faith, they were unharmed and there was no major property damage. In fact, my father said that it seemed as if they were in the eye of the hurricane and divinely protected. When I got off the phone with my parents, I did hushur and sincerely thanked Master. In conclusion, I still need to be diligent about cultivating myself well and eliminating my final attachments. Particularly, I need to quickly improve with regard to unconditionally looking inward, cultivating my thoughts, cultivating my speech, and being more compassionate with my immediate family members. I know, however, that by diligently studying the Fa, I can live up to what Master has said in Cultivation in Dafa is Serious. Quote, "Cultivate as you did in the beginning and you are sure to succeed. This is a true saying in the cultivation community," unquote. Thank you, Master, and fellow practitioners.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled Master Taught Me to Find Joy in Hardship by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on October 5th, 2023. I vividly remember every moment on my cultivation path. No words can express my gratitude to Master. For more than 26 years, he has carefully cared for and compassionately guided me in moments of danger. Part 1. Finding Joy in Hardship. Influenced by my parents, I believed in the existence of gods. A co-worker told me about Falun Dafa in the summer of 1995, and I immediately thought it was good and wanted to learn it. A relative brought me a Falun Dafa book in late July 1995. He asked, "Are you afraid of enduring hardship?" I was experiencing some tribulations at that time and felt that life was very difficult. "I'm not afraid," I replied. I accepted the copy of Zhuan Falun and read the whole book in one day. I was thrilled. It was exactly what I had been looking for. I understood the meaning of life after reading the Fa. I no longer felt lost and depressed. I could face difficulties with a positive attitude as I understood that tribulations were the result of my karmic debts from past lifetimes. Before I began practicing Falun Dafa, I suffered from various illnesses, including neurasthenia, low blood sugar, rheumatoid arthritis, gastrointestinal problems, and anemia. In just 1 month, all of my ailments disappeared and I felt lighthearted and joyful. My mother was living with my sister-in-law at that time, and I often came by to help her. Although my sister-in-law always treated me well, she frequently scolded and belittled my mother and sisters, even right in front of me. I quietly endured it, but only to make things easier for my mother. Eventually, though, I could bear it no more, and I snapped back, saying, "You always criticize others. Why don't you take a look at yourself?" She was infuriated and would not allow me to visit my mother anymore. In my anger, I wrote a letter to my sister-in-law's mother, detailing the many immoral, even outrageous things she's done after marrying into our family. I also wrote my sister-in-law herself, warning her of what I'd done. We developed a deep, abiding hatred for each other and didn't speak for many years. After I began practicing Falun Dafa, I reminded myself that I was a cultivator and decided to hold myself to the standard of the Fa. I learned to consider the bigger picture and to prioritize harmony within our family. I visited my sister-in-law's mother while she was at work one day, and then visited my sister-in-law herself and apologized sincerely. We finally reconciled. If it weren't for cultivation, I wouldn't have done this. I used to hold resentment in my heart and even complained about my mother-in-law right in front of my husband. Once I began practicing Falun Dafa, though, I began sincerely considering things from her perspective and tried my best to understand her and be tolerant. This really helped dissolve my resentment toward her. My husband took notice and said one day, "You haven't picked on my mother in front of me for a long time." I have a grandson, and when he was born, my daughter went through postpartum depression. During that time, I took care of my daughter, my grandson, by myself. I had to prepare meals for the entire family, including special food for the new mother, clean the house and do the laundry, bathe the newborn, and even sunbathe him as a treatment for jaundice. I was so busy that I often only had one meal a day and even forgot to drink enough water. I was so exhausted at night that I often fell asleep during Fa study. I really hoped my daughter's mother-in-law would come and help. Eventually, she did come, and I was quite happy. She only stayed for 3 days, though. At that time, she would only stay for a couple of days at a time, and was only there to visit her grandson, not to help out. My daughter and son-in-law were busy with work, so I took care of my grandson and managed the household all by myself. It was exhausting, and I couldn't do the three things well. I felt very bitter, and human notions dominated my thoughts and actions. I developed resentment toward my son-in-law's mother, thinking that she was selfish. She never even considered giving me a hand. Instead, she would regularly ask my daughter to do things for her. She completely disregarded their family's financial state and thought that taking care of the child was my job. Sometimes, even things got really difficult, I would cry myself to sleep. Eventually, Master enlightened me, and I suddenly became clear. I'm a Falun Dafa practitioner, a cultivator, and I should find joy in hardship. I should try to understand and be tolerant of my daughter's mother-in-law and look at things from her perspective. I shared these thoughts with my husband and daughter, and they were not happy. They wondered why I always took her side. I said that as a cultivator, I should follow the requirements of Dafa, be kind, and consider things from other people's perspectives. Part 2, the power of kindness. As practitioners, we should hold ourselves to the standard of the Fa. Although I have failed to do that many times due to my attachments, I have cultivated kindness during my practice of Dafa, and that kindness manifested itself naturally. When I sincerely do something for others, they can feel it. When the persecution started on July 20, 1999, we went to the city government right away to appeal this decision. A police officer yelled at us and pushed my husband to the ground. I turned around, helped my husband up, and smiled at the officer. It seemed to surprise him, and he didn't abuse any more practitioners. In October 1999, I was arrested and taken to a police station. Late one night, an officer was preparing to transfer me to a detention center. I noticed that he had a pained expression, so I asked him what was wrong. He told me he had stomachache. I asked if he was hungry and suggested that he eat something or take some medicine. He felt that I genuinely cared for him, and he was moved. I was illegally detained in a brainwashing center. There was a male practitioner who didn't have money to pay for his own meals. When we heard about it, a couple of us practitioners gave money to one of the security guards to use for him to buy his meals. This guard then told a police officer what we've done. The other officer then told the people from the local neighborhood committee and the political legal affairs committee. So-and-so is very kind. Her family isn't well off, yet she still helps others. Someone from the neighborhood committee relayed the officer's words to me. During the persecution, many police officers were deceived and misled by the Chinese Communist Party's CCP propaganda and were very hard on practitioners. During our interactions, however, they saw and felt practitioners' kindness, rationality, and the care we took of our families, which shattered many of the CCP's lies and corrected their misconceptions. My daughter's mother-in-law never did help take care of her grandson, and they never bonded. As he grew, he never liked her or her husband and even refused to speak to them. I thought his being estranged from his grandparents wasn't right. So when they came to visit, I talked with her. I said, "Now that the child is getting older and understands things, you should come to see him more often and build a relationship with him. We can't let him grow up thinking that his grandparents don't love him." With tears in her eyes, she patted my shoulder and said, "I will never forget you. You have been so good to me. I never brought you anything when I came, but every time I left, you would give me some gifts to take home. You always think of me. I don't know how to thank you." They're just bits and pieces of my experiences in my 26 years of cultivation. There have been many instances of spiritual elevation, the excruciating pain of letting go of attachments, deep remorse for not diligently cultivating and unwavering faith in Dafa when facing the cruel persecution. I've received Master's protection in times of danger and much more. Master and Dafa have given me so much that I cannot express it in words. The only way to show my gratitude is to continue to cultivate diligently and become a true practitioner. My deepest gratitude to our great and compassionate Master.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.